on Daf Tesamid Beis, our Daf today is Daf Yud, but on Daf Tesamid Beis, we had quoted a Mishnah, which is here in Mesech Erevin on Daf Tzadi Beis, and the question was, how to interpret this Mishnah of a Chatzar Ktana Shenifritza L'Chatzar Gedola. And the Mishnah says that the Chatzar Gedola Muteres, and the Chatzar Haktana Asura. And this Mishnah is being quoted in order to analyze a Machlokes regarding to a Lechi Shenira Mibachutz. It's not discernible inside the Mavui, but on the outside, if you're standing in the Rishus HaRabim, from that perspective, you could see the Lechi. What's the status of such a Lechi? Is it valid? Is it not? And we have two opinions on that. One is called Nido Mishum Lechi, which means it's valid, and the other is Eino Nido Mishum Lechi. Now, in order to explain why the Chatzar Ktana is Asura, the Gemara thinks, because even though there are some mechitzos left to the Chatzar Gedola, so it's not Prutza Legamre, but nevertheless, those mechitzos are only visible or discernible to someone who's standing in the Chatzar Gedola. From the perspective of the Chatzar HaKtana, if you're standing there, you don't see these mechitzos. And hence that Mishnah, which says that the Chatzar Ktana Asura, would prove the Shita that Eino Nidon Mishum Lechi, when it's only Nira Mibachutz. And the Gemara offers a number of answers. The first of which is Rabbi Zera, the second of which is Ravina. And the sugi that we want to learn today on Daf Yud, which we began yesterday, is going to reject both Ravina and Rabbi Zera. So again, according to Rabbi Zera, just to review, the Ksolim, the walls of the coast of the Mavui, of the Chatzar Ktana, protrude, continue into the Chatzar HaGdola, and therefore the two mechitzos that flank on both sides of the Chatzar HaGdola are not visible, but it's more than they're not visible to those who are standing in the Chatzar Ktana, but they're completely excluded, because the Chatzar Ktana continues way past those different vestiges of mechitzos on both sides. That was the answer of Rabbi Zera. And then we had the answer of Ravina. Ravina said that we're talking about a Chatzar Ktana that enters into a Chatzar Gedola, but it's not centered. It's a little bit lopsided, if you will. It's inclined towards one side and not the other. And all this, and the explanation of Ravina, is based on a brisa which interprets the Mishnah that we started with, which is back on, you know, further down in Daf Tzadi Beis, about Chatzar Gedola, Chatzar Ktana. That Mishnah, says the brisa, is talking about a case where the Chatzar Ktana is 10 amos wide, the Chatzar Gedola is 11 amos wide. And the Gemara therefore says that in such a case, we should apply the principle of lavud. And what does that mean? If the width of the Chatzar Gedola is one amma greater than the width of the Chatzar Ktana, then on both sides, before Ravina, we have three tfachim. And it's a little bit less than three tfachim, in fact, of a distance, because of the Ovia Kosel. Anything less than three tvach, we say lavud. Lavud is kisosum. And therefore, we have a case in which, the Gemara argues, we have, even from the Chatzar Ktana's structure, we have sosum on both sides. And if it's sosum on both sides, that should be a lechi, and we have no reason to prohibit the Chatzar Ktana. unless we apply the principle of Eino Nidon Kelech. So Ravina tries to solve this problem, and he says, no. What you have is a distance of, let's say, two tvachim on one side, and four on the other. Now, if you have a distance that separates the two ksolim of four tvachim, we cannot apply the principle of lavut. So the Gemara right away asks, all we need is one lechi. To be matir the chatzer, one lechi should be sufficient. And the Gemara introduces Rebbe, this on the top of Yudam and Aleph. And Rebbe is the one who says that we need two pasim. That means a chatz is more chomer than a mavui. A mavui only needs one lechi. And a chatz needs two. A pas here on this side and a pas on the other side. We had a long discussion yesterday about the word pas and how it differs, and the difference between the word pas and the word lechi. That difference has to do with the fact that a chatzer is more chomer than a mavui. So the pas has certain requirements that a lechi would not have. And we discussed Rav Yaakov Emden, the Yaivitz, who says that it might have to do with whether or not the lechi could be hanging or it has to be solid on the ground. And that was yesterday's discussion. Now we have a problem. The problem is that, okay, you want to say that according to Rebbe, we need two pasim. Correct? And one pas on one side is not enough. So if we apply Ravina's description of this Mishnah, in which case there is only lovin on one side, because only on one side do you have a distance of less than three tfachim, so you're left with only one pas. Oh. So now, the Gemara has the following problem. And that is, that even if we introduce Rebbe into the equation, we still don't understand why the Chatzah Gedola is wider than the Chatzah Ktana by one Amma, which was the Bryce's interpretation of the Mishnah. And just one second. And this is where we got up to yesterday. Hi, Mai. So just make a note of where we're up to. We're on the third line, Iyamet Bishlema. And this is what I worked on, and I think I made some progress. The Gemara now is going to introduce the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi holds that a lechi has to be three tfachim wide. And if a lechi to be matir mavui has to be three tfachim in width, then how much more so in the case of pasei hachatzer, where the chatz is more chamur than a mavui, certainly Rabbi Yossi would insist that you have to have three tfachim. So now, what we're going to have is a situation in which the distance between the Kosle Hagdol and the Kosle Haktana is one Amma. And what we're going to have is a situation where we can... again, a situation which we may can or cannot, and that's what we have to analyze, set up two pasim like Rabbi Meir, like Rebbe, on both sides, to be matir the chatzah gedola. And we're going to have to fulfill the requirement of Rabbi Yossi that you need three tfachim for a lechi, or how much more so for a pas in the case of a chatzer. And therefore we're going to have, if we go like Rebbe, pasim on both sides, and we're going to need three tefachim on both sides. So if everyone's with me on this, when we're talking about the Chatz HaGdola for a moment, what we're going to say is that because the distance between the Chatzer HaGdola and the Kosle Chatzer HaGdola and the Chatzer HaKtana on the wide side, on the width side, is three Tvachim on each side, then we're going to be able to be matir the Chatzer HaGdola with the following two requirements fulfilled. Number one, we're going to have pasim on both sides. And number two, we're going to have three tefachim's worth on both sides. And obviously, this is not going to work according to Ravina, because Ravina is saying that it's a off-center kind of situation, and we don't have three tefachim on each side. We only have four tefachim on one side and two tefachim on the other side. So that's going to be the problem for Ravina. Now, let's go back to our pshat. The Gemara is saying now that if we combine Rebbe with Rabbi Yossi, we can be matir the Chatzer HaGdola based on the fact that the distance in the width side of the Ksolim between the Chatzer HaGdola and the Chatzer HaKtana is one Amma, which means three Tvachim on each side. We're not going with Ravina. And we have no problem of Rabbi Zera, because the Ksolim of the Ketana extend beyond into the Chatzer HaGdola. We don't have that. And we can be matir the Chatzer HaGdola based on the fact that we've got three Tvachim on each side. And that fulfills both the requirement of Rebbe of Pasim on both sides and the requirement of Rebbe Yossi that the Lechi has to be a minimum of three Tvachim. Everything seems to fit into place. But then we have to face the music and ask the following question. Well, if this be the case, then if you've got these pasim on both sides, why shouldn't that be matir the Chatzer HaKtana as well? In other words, you're viewing these two pasim on both sides of the Chatzer HaGdola as if the Chatzer HaGdola is now closed off on its fourth side. And the original kosel that may have been there and now is no longer is now being replaced by these two pasim, as if there was a mechitza there. So that should now serve to be matir the Chatzer HaKtana, the same way it's matir the Chatzer HaGdola. And the answer has to be that nirabi b'chutz v'shav b'fnim eino nidon mishum lechi. So that even though we have a lechi on both sides, as far as the Chatzer HaGdola is concerned, Wunderbar, and that's going to be matir because we have all the requirements we need, two pasim on both sides, we have three tefachim on both sides, but that could not function to be matir the Chatzer HaKtana, because from the perspective of the Chatzer HaKtana, you don't see that extra piece of three tefachim on both sides. That's only visible from the perspective of the Chatzer HaGdola. So now we're going to apply the principle of Nira Mibachutz, but Shavim Mibifnim Eino Nidon Mishum Lechi. So where are we up to? What we're up to now is to go the other direction. What if we were to hold that Nira Mibachutz is Nidon Mishum Lechi, and at the same time we have to understand and justify why the Braisa insists that the distance between the Rochvei HaKosel of the Gdola and the Ketana is one Amma. So do you hear where we're going now? What we want to now throw slings and arrows at is the following two premises. Premise number one, that a Lechi Shez Nira Mibachutz is Nido Mishum Lechi. And number two, to maintain the Mishnah, which is Matir the Gdola and not the Ketana, according to the Bryce's interpretation of the Mishnah, where the difference between the width of the Gdola and that of the Ketana is one Amah. And this is the premise that we've been presenting, both according to Reb Zeira, the way he interprets the Mishnah, and according to Ravina, the way he interprets the Mishnah. And this is what the Gemara is going to shlug up. So again, yes.
Sorry, before you continue, that nida, just very quickly, that means it is permitted. Any nida means not permitted.
Nido means it's valid, and eno nido means it's invalid.
Okay.
So the Gemara says the following: I amrit bishlema nira mivchus shav miftin eno nido mishum lechi. I could now understand the Mishnah the way the Bryce interprets it. If I assume eno nido mishum lechi, now I can understand why the Mishnah differentiates between the gedola, which is mutter, and the ketana, which is usur. How? Because Rebbe Savarla ki Rebbe Yossi, if the distance between the rochav of the gedola and the ketana is one amah, three tefachim on each side, we now could be matir the gedola based on the requirement of two pasim, which we have, and those two pasim are three tefachim wide, which is Rabbi Yossi's requirement as far as Lechi and certainly as far as Pasim Chatzer are concerned. So everything is fine. That's called, in the Gemara's language, I Amrit Bishlema. Okay. Now, we're going to analyze the opposite approach, that Nidom Mishum Lechi. So if it's a... Oh, so wait, I forgot that one sentence. But as far as the Chatz HaKtana is concerned, the Chatz HaKtana is usur because eino nidon mishum lechi, meaning that if this closure is only visible from the outside, in this case the outside of the ketana is the gedola, but it's not visible from the inside in the ketana, that's not a valid lechi. And therefore, the Chatz HaKtana is usur, and as we discussed, to be matir, they would need an Eruv together with the Chatzer HaGadol. So everything is fine right now. We justify the Mishnah's distinction between the Gdola and the Ketana. The Gdola is also, the Ketana is Mutter, and it's all based on the fact that the width of the Chatzer HaGadol is one Amma greater than the width of the Chatzer Ketana. And in that difference, you have three tefachim on one side, three tefachim on another side, and we have now pasim, and we have Rabbi Yossi's requirement of three tefachim. But now, let's pick up the opposite, the interpretation that was the goal of which was to defend the Mandi Omar who says nidon mishum lechi. And nido mishum lechi means that the Chatz HaKtana should also become mutter through this lechi. So now let's go through the answers of Rabbi Zeira and Ravina to try to answer why is nido mishum lechi not applicable here to permit carrying in the Chatz HaKtana. How do we make sense out of this mission? So we start with Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says that the Kosle HaKtana continue and extend into and beyond the Kosle Chatz HaGdola. And that's why you cannot use the Lechi of the Gdola to function on behalf of the Ketana. Then we add Ravina, and Ravina is going to justify the fact that there's no heter in the Ketana because you only have two tefachim on one side, on the other side you have four tefachim, and with regard to the side that has four tefachim, you cannot make it into sasum through lavud because four tvachim doesn't lend itself to lavud, and we're going like Rebbe, who requires pasim on both sides. So the Gemara says, Uderabi Zera, Uderavina Lesa. According to our interpretation, the new one, that's based on the principle that Eino Nidon Mishum Lechi, then we don't introduce Rabbi Zera or Ravina, because we could justify the Iser of Tiltel in the Ketana based on Eino Nidon Mishum Lechi. We could be Matir the Chatzar Agedola based on the three Tfachim on both sides, which is enough to create a pas, which serves as a lechi, and we have a lechi on both sides, which Rebbe requires in the case of a chatz. So that's fine. We don't have Rabbi Zera and or Ravina. Umishimahachi Ktana b'eser. The Ktana is wide by 10 amos. Ugdol b'achadisre. Mishum de Rebbe. Savala Krab Yossi, and therefore we need a pass on both sides. The pass has to be a minimum of three tfachim. We're going to be mata the Chatzah Gedola based on the fact that what's left from the Rochav of the Kosel is a three tfachim Kosel on one side and a three tfachim Kosel on the other side. And that, as we said before, fulfills all the requirements of the pasim for the Chatzah Gedola. The Chatzah Ketana is excluded because it's Eino Nira. It's Nira Kishav. They don't see this area from their perspective because they're looking at the narrow part, right? Only the narrow Kesolim. Oh, Ela I Amrit. Now we go back to the other interpretation of the Brice. And now the Gemara wants to raise an objection. If you're going to tell me that Nira Mibachutz V'Shavifnim Nidon Mishum Lechi, and if so, the Lechi that operates on behalf of the Gedola should also at the same time operate on behalf of the Ketana. And to answer that question as to why the Mishnah prohibits carrying in the Ketana, when we hold that Nira Mibachutz is Muta Mishum Lechi, Nido Mishum Lechi, we'd have to introduce either Rabbi Zera or Ravina. And those are two different answers to the question. Again, Ravina is based on Rebbe, if you remember, that you need Pasim on both sides. And even though you have on one side four Tfachim, and on the other side you only have two Tfachim, so on the right, so then we're going to ask, well, two tfachim is not enough to satisfy the requirement of Rabbi Yossi. The answer is we're holding now like Rebbe and not like Rabbi Yossi. So it doesn't bother me if we have less than three tfachim on both sides, and one side has less than three tfachim, that's fine. We still have pasim on both sides. So the Gemara says that what's my problem here? My problem is, just 1 second. So again, we're up to the point where we want to raise the objection, but I just want to make sure that I have it here. Oh, that's according to, oh yeah, sorry. So according to Rabbi, so we solve the problem of the Chatzah Gedola by saying that we hold like Rebbe and we have pasim on both sides. And why isn't this enough to be matir to the Ketana? So that we have two answers, two alternative answers. Either Rabbi Zera, because the Kosel Aruch of the Chatzah Ketana is nimshach l'to Chatzah Gedola, and therefore the extensions of the Ksolim on both sides cannot be matir the Chatzah Ketana midin lechi anir b'chutz, because the Ksolim continue and penetrate into the Chatzah Gedola fine. Or, according to Ravina, the Chatzak Tana is not mechuvenes, it's not centrally located in the middle of the Chatzak Dola. So on one side, it is a 2 tfachim distance, on the other side it is a 4 tfachim difference, right, that was Ravina, and therefore we cannot be mati the Chatzak Tana by applying the principle of lovewood, and here we're going to require, according to Rebbe, pasim mishnei atzdanim, and we don't have pasim mishnei atzdanim. Why? Because we can't have lovud on the side that has 4 tfachim, says Ravina. And if we don't have lovud, we don't have that extra sasum on that side to make it into a pas. The Rebbe lo sover lo kereb Yosi, and therefore we can be mati the chatzak gedola, even though there's no 3 tfachim on both sides, because we don't accept Reb Yosi. And the fact that we have 2 tfachim on one side, that's fine. So we have a pas on both sides, and that fulfills the requirement of Rebbe. And that's going to be matir the chatzak tana. Oh, so now we're ready for the kasha. Gdola b'chatzrei lomali. We don't understand why the Braisa chooses to interpret the Mishnah as referring to a difference of 1 amma between the Kosle Rochav Haktana and the Kosle Rochav Hagdola. Bachadisrei Lomali. So we're trying to understand this Lomali. Meaning that there's no rhyme or reason that would justify the Bryce's interpretation of the Mishnah, that the Odef, the extra width of the Gdola vis-a-vis the Ketana is 1 Amma. Why? So the Gemara says, Mimonefshach. What is the goal, the agenda of what this 1 Amma Odef of the extra Rochav HaGdola? Let's go through both possibilities, and we're going to reject both of them. We're going to have a kasha on both. That's called Mimonefshach. Mimonefshach means no matter how you slice the cake. Ila Mishrei LeGdola Os Ka'asi. If the reason why we want to have a distance of an Odef, right, the extra width in the Gdola is one out, it's because that's necessary to be Matir the Gdola, is then the Eser. When you talk about the width of the Gdola, all you need is Eser, 10 Amos, Ushnei Tvachim Sagya. Now again, keep in mind that we're not accepting Rabbi Yossi, which means all we need is to satisfy Rebbe's requirement of a pas here and a pas there. Each pas on both sides of the chatzah will serve as a lechi. So we have a lechi mikan, which is called a pas. And all you need is 1 tefach on each side. Again, Tosis is going to point out you don't even need a tefach, you just need a mashu. But let's use tefach as our smallest shear. We don't need a full amma of the extension of the ksole ha-chotzer, right, in terms of its width. All we need is a tefach mikan and a tefach mikan. Because if the chotzak dola is wider than the chotzak tana by 2 tfachim, and on each side you have a kosel, which is adif al chatzar aktana, is then we have two pasim to be matir the chatz agdola, because Rebbe doesn't hold like Rebbe Yossi. He doesn't require a shear of gimel tfachim, and therefore we can be matir the chatz agdola if it is wider by one tefach on each side to tfachim. We didn't, the brisa didn't need to say, well, there's a full amma, which implies that you need three tefachim on both sides. We don't need three tefachim on both sides to be matir the chatz agdola, because we're holding now like Rebbe without Rebbe Yossi. But maybe the brisa was trying to explain why the chatz aktana is asur, the ilam meisrei liktanakasi, if this extra odef on both sides has to be three tefachim. It means you need an hour of an extra am of width of the gedola and the ketana, is then lashmi'ina, the brisa should have given me a different shear to be osa the ketana, the miflige tuva. Okay, now we have to understand those two words, miflige tuva, and if we understand that, I think we have pretty much the main thrust of the sugya. Again, miflige tuva means, just in terms of the literal translation, that the distance between the kosleh aktana and the kosleh agdola should be more than three tefachim, more than one amma. So he explains it here. And he says the following. She kosleh hachotzak tana meruchakim, that's called miflige tuva, meruchakim harbe michotzak gdola, velo yeh makom litos. That would avoid a possible error. Lomar, that a person might mistakenly say, sheyesh lovud mishnei hatzdadim. Meaning, if you're talking about an amma, which is the greater distance of the, then you could divide that up on both sides to three tefachim, and then you might say, well, since the thickness of the kosel diminishes a little bit of the three tefachim, we have less than three tefachim, and therefore we could apply lavud on both sides, and that would be a possible mistake that we might fall into. So let's hold on to that for a moment. I'm just going to make a note that we want to come back and but if the chatz agdola is much wider than the ketana, in such a way that there's more than three tefachim on each side, then we certainly would not be able to have a havamina here and make this mistake that there should be lovud on both sides. Masha einkein, but if now we have the Bryce's interpretation that the width of the gdola exceeds that of the width of the ketana by one amma, shekidei shelo yeh lovud, in other words, then we're going to have to assume, let's say according to Ravina, that we have to move around this chatz aktana in terms of its relationship to the chatz agdola in such a way that we won't be able to apply lavud on both sides. So if the width of the gdola is 11 amma, the only way we can exclude lavud is if we reshift the ketana, that's Ravina. Tzarech lomar shemedubar she'ein haksol meruchakim b'ofen shava mishnei tzidei hachatzer gdola, shebekach b'tzarechet yesh yoser mishlosh tefachim, v'ein zeh muva v'pashtus mitoch habraisa. Where, basically what the Gemara is asking is, where does it say in the Braisa that we shift around the relative positioning of the Chatz HaKtana and the Chatz HaGdola and its Ksolim in such a way that we end up with four Tfachim on one side, which is that exceeds Lavud, and therefore we don't have Shnei Pasim. Why did the Mishnah tell me that? If the Mishnah wants to point out that there's no Lavud, then let the Mishnah talk about a case where the Rochav of the Gdola is much greater than that of the Ketana. Why do you come up with this one Amma? You see, again, let's just go over this, the logic of the Gemara one more time. If you're telling me that there's one Amma of a distance, then somebody might argue that we should say Lavud on both sides, which you could not even possibly entertain if the Chatz HaGedola was much wider, because then for sure there's going to be more than three Tfachim on each side. And the only way now that we could justify that there's no Lavud on both sides to make it into Sasum and to justify why the Chatz HaKtana is Asura is only if we shift around the Ketana. That's the only way you could justify the conclusion of the Mishnah when you assume that the distance is one Amma. If the difference is one Amma, which is a distance of three Tvachim on each side, then the only way you could justify this interpretation of the Mishnah, the Brisa, is if you shift the Ketana towards one side, exposing a four Amma distance on the other side. I'm sorry, four Tvachim distance on the other side, in order to mafkiel love it. But where does it say that in the Brisa? Where does it say in the Brisa that we're talking about a case where the Chatz HaKtana is closer on one side than on the other? Very, very difficult. That's the Gemara's kash. So again, if Lemishrei Gedola Kasi, if the shear of the Chatz HaGedola is to be matir, of the width of one Amma, the extra Odef and Amma, is to be matir the Gedola, so then I don't need three Tvachim on each side, because I'm not holding like Rabbi Yossi. I'm agreeing to Rebbe Shita that I need Pasim on both sides, but those Pasim could be one Tefa. So therefore the Odef could have been easily two Tvachim. Why did the Bryce insist that the Odef is a full Amma? And if, on the other hand, the Bryce is coming to explain, why is it that the Mishnah establishes that the Chatz HaKtana is Asur? And the answer is, because on one side I have four Tvachim, that was Ravina. So where does it say in the... where does it say in the Mishnah that this Amma is not equally distributed on both sides, with three Tfachim on both sides? Elolav Shmamina. So the Gemara at this point wants to come to the conclusion that Nirami Bachutz Visham Mifnim Eino Nido Mishum Lechi. So again, if we were to hold Nirabi Bachutz Vishavim Mifnim is Nido Mishum Lechi, then we would have either have a smaller distance, let's say two Tvachim, or alternatively a larger distance, which would have been four Tvachim. I'm sorry, which would have been more than an Amma. I don't know how much. You whatever you want to choose, anything more than an Amma. But now that we're holding that we can be matir the Chatz HaGedola because we have three Tfachim on each side, and that fulfills both Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, we have two Pasim on each side of this Chatzir, and we have Pasim that are three Tfachim in width. That's exactly why the Mishnah says one amma, that the extra width of the gedola is one amma, so we can divide up into three tefachim on each side and fulfill both Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. And as far as the chatzah ketana is concerned, that's not an issue because that's shavim mibachutz, shavim mifnim, and nirim mibachutz, which is eino nidon mishum lech. So again, this is an analysis of Rabbah. Rabbah was the one who maintained that lechi anirim mibachutz v'shav mifnim is nidon mishum lechi, and we don't really understand that Mishnah. Now, Omer Rav Yosef, lo shmiel li hashmaitita. I never heard the sugya of Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the father of Rabbah, as far as lechi nirim mibachutz v'shav mifnim, shenidon mishum lechi. And therefore, if I didn't hear it from Rav Huna, then probably Rabbah said it on his own. Because apparently Rav Yosef was a Talmud of Rav Huna, and he never heard it from Rav Huna, therefore he assumes that this statement of Rabbah is not a statement in the name of Rav Huna, but this was Rabbah's own opinion, which he did not receive in the transmission from his father Rav Huna. So Omer Le Abaye, now here we have to understand that Rav Yosef had amnesia, and the Chachamim, especially Abaye, the Talmud Muvak of Rav Yosef, used to remind Rav Yosef of what he once taught them. Omer Le Abaye, Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and he says, At Amrit Nialon, you actually told us this din. And you told us, right, that Nido Mishum Lechi, and you told us that you learned it from Rav Huna. V'yaha Amrit Nialon. And in what context did you tell it to us? In the context of the statement of Rami. Di Omar Rami Bar Abba Om Rav Huna Lechi Amoshech Imdofyo Imdofno Shel Mavui. Okay, so now we have a new scenario. Okay, I have a picture of this, but anyway, this is called Lechi Amoshech im Dofno Shalmovli, which means Lechi Animshach mi Orech Dofen Hamovui El Chutz Lamovui La Omdim Besoch Hamovui Ein Nikashu Lechi. So what this means is that in the kosel mavui, which has a certain thickness to it, at some point that kosel mavui disappears, so to speak, from sight. Maybe that's not a good pedagogic way of saying it, but all of a sudden that kosla mavui is much narrower towards the left side. So let's say you're walking down the mavui, and what you think is, based on your perception, is that the kosla mavui terminates. But in truth, there's an entire piece that extends beyond that point. The reason why you don't see it is because that piece is indented, so to speak. It's much narrower than the coastal itself. And let's say it's half the thickness of the coastal. I think we've had a case like this before. Maybe it was the Beis Yosef. So this is called a Lechi Amoshech im Dofno Shalmovu. Just 1 second. So again, I'm going to read this. Lechi hanimshach mi orech dofen Hamavui el chutz lemavui is therefore omde b'toch hamavui enu nikar shulachel nirikah hemshech hadofen hamachutz nikar shulechi. Second, so again, how is it nikar shehu lechi? So again, you've got this wall. The wall continues straight as a continuation of the wall of the Mavui, but it's Nimshach. Correct? That was the word that Rami Bar Abba used here. He calls it what? Hamoshech. Lechi Hamoshech Imdofno Shel Mavui. Where are those pictures here that I got from Don? 1 second. This is here. This should be okay. He says the lechi extends in line with the sides of the mavui. Okay, that's only half the story. See diagram A. Okay, let's see if I could see this. I'm just going to read to you what he says. The lechi seems to be an unbroken extension of the mavui wall. However, the lechi is thinner than the wall. The lechi is thinner than the wall. Therefore, although the lechi is flush with the wall when viewed from inside the mavui, the lechi is visible from the outside the mavui as a distinct piece. I'll tell you the truth, I understand what he's saying, I don't understand the diagram. Just 1 second.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
Apparently there's at least two, possibly three possibilities. One is the thinner piece is flush with the inside, or it could be flush with the outside of the wall. From the point of view of the
Rabbi. But what do you see in this diagram? I see a black line. Maybe it's a little clearer. You also have it in black and white, right?
Yeah, I see this that I gave you. The pages I gave you is from my printed version of Art Scroll, but I also have it digital, and the digital is different than the printed. I'm not sure which is the latest one, but looking at the one you have, which is footnote number 9 at the bottom of the page, right?
Right. Oh, no. Yeah. I'm actually looking at footnote number 17.
Ah, okay, hold on.
Where it says see diagram A.
Huh, that's interesting. And that's my digital version.
Well, you may have sent
you that.
Maybe you sent me the digital one by accident.
No, I sent you the printed one because I can't figure out how to print out or send you the one from the digital.
So I'm just telling you, Don, what I'm looking at is page 10A2, the last footnote on the page, on the bottom right.
Okay.
And it has two diagrams. It's
okay.
Interesting. No, now that I see both. Oh, you see, now that I compare both diagrams, I begin to understand the first diagram. I couldn't, out of my eye, couldn't catch that black line.
Yeah.
But
on A, the lechi, which is a shorter than the wall, right? It's not
right.
Shorter.
Right.
Right. So it's flush to the inside of the wall, and in B, it's flush to the outside of the wall.
That's right.
The difference between the two.
Right. In both cases, it's not apparent to the eye. Just 1 second. Yeah, I guess, you know, the first case is a little bit easier to understand when you talk about Eino Nira Mi Bifnim or Shava Mi Bifnim, because what it really means is, again, I'm not sure why he has the lechi as being shorter. I don't know where he gets that from. I certainly don't have that here in my diagram. But be that as it may, it's flush against the, you know, the continuation of the wall, so that if you're standing inside the mavui, you don't even notice it, right? It's just a hemshech of the wall. The second case,
in a beam, you can't see it at all.
What do you say?
In diagram B, you would not be able to see it at all.
Right. I mean, it's totally concealed, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's hidden. But that's, yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, so those are just two alternatives of what Rami Bar Abba is saying over here. I just want to see what exactly. So in the diagram that he has here in the Masifta, he only has what he calls in the article, he calls it diagram A. He only has diagram A, which means that the extra piece is flush against the inside. Inside corner, if you will, the inside flank of the Kosel HaMavui, but he doesn't have it as being lower down. So I don't know. I'm not sure if that's. I'm sure that is something significant. I'm not sure why, but it does. You know, it does indicate some. Okay, but in any event, let's just.
It makes it even less distinguishable if it's exactly the same height.
Right, right. In other words, in the diagrams that you and I have here in the printed pages, it comes out that it's basically this extra piece is completely hidden from view. It's concealed. I mean, because it's lower down. In his diagram, on the contrary, it's very visible, but the way it appears to the person who's in the mavui, it's just simply the continuation. He doesn't realize that there's a part, in other words, that this extra piece is indented, if you will. In other words, it doesn't have the same thickness as the rest of the kosel. That he can't see. Okay, fine. Now, pachos mi arba amos, nidon mishum lechi. So we have to, and again, in my picture, it's a little bit more profound, so to speak, because in this diagram that you sent me, you know, the lechi looks like it's, you know, it's like a quarter of a tefach wide. He has it a full kosel, you know, it's like a real extension of the kosel, and now we have to know whether it's four amos, because as we discussed in the past, a lechi could not be four amos long. Is nido mishum lechi, and we can be matir the mavui, mishtamish im chudo hapnimi. So what is the heter here of this lechi? Mutavish mi chudo hapnimi shela lechi, klomar mitchilas kosa mavish mit sido omin lechi. Just 1 second, klomar, let's just get this chudo hapnimi. Shel halechi, mutul shtamish mi chudo apnimi. Shel halechi, klomar mitchilas. Just 1 second. So this is probably going to be on number 3, I guess. Let's just see. Oh no. So wait, where do I go here? 1 second, am I missing something? Where are the words umishtamesh im chudo apnimi? Do you have those four words here? I don't know why I don't find them. I'm sorry. I didn't have my pages in order. Just sorry. Where's number 3? Oh, here it is. No, that's... Okay. No. For some reason, I don't have page 3. okay, in the pages you sent me. So I'm just gonna look at. So let me put this on the side here. So what do I have here? Umutul shtamish michudo hapnimi shel halechi. Chudo hapnimi shel halechi. Klomer mitchilas kosal movi shvitzido amir halechi. Is kosal hamovi shvitzido amir halechi.
I'm going to just take a stab at this because the Masifta is not helping me much. But I think what he means is that the Mavi is mutter up until the Lechi. Now, you could always ask which part of the Lechi. Is it the inner part of the Lechi, which would limit and restrict the amount of tiltal, or is it the outer part of the Lechi? And in this particular diagram that I have, the Lechi is probably about 3 amos long, right? It has to be less than 4 amos, but it could be 3 amos long. In this diagram, it looks like a very long piece. So therefore, chudo apnimi really is cutting out 3 amos worth, because this extra kosel is not the kosel amavui, but rather it's a lechi. And if it's serving as a lechi, then we have a principle of chudo apnimi shel lechi. Okay, now let's go on. 4 amos. If on the other hand, this extra piece that we said it's added to the end of the length of the mavui towards the Rishus Rab is 4 amos, which means it cannot be a lechi, then nidon mishum mavui, which I think means that he needs to add another lechi. Let's see if I'm right. He says, v'eino kelechi amavui, l'fisha orech mavui hu 4 amos. Lachin enu nechshav kelechi al kosel shel mavui v'osel ishtamish bekulo b'chol amavui l'fisha ein kan lechi. So again, I think I'm not sure exactly what he has to do now to fix up this situation if that extra piece is 4 amos. Because that extra piece as 4 amos can no longer be considered a lechi, because 4 amos is not a lechi, and it's a mavui. And now, if it's a mavui, then this mavui doesn't have a lechi. So I think what he's saying is, if I'm not mistaken, that you put up a lechi in order to be matir, and I think that lechi now could be matir the entire mavui, including the 4 amos area to, you know, inside this extra piece. So therefore, this is all a transmission of Rav Yosef, which Abai is testifying about, that Rav Yosef transmitted this halacha, this ruling, in the name of Rami Bar Abba, who in turn was saying it in the name of Rav Huna himself. V'at amrit lan Allah, not only did you transmit this statement, but you added the following comment. Shma min otlas. From this transmission in the name of Rav Huna, we can learn 3 dinim. Number one, Shmamina. Since he said that you're only allowed to carry from the Chudu Apnimi Shal Alechi, is Bein Alechayayim Asr. Obviously, Bein Alechayayim Asr means, you know, beyond the Lechi, or in the area that's circumscribed by the Lechi, that's Asr, because that's already Chudo Achitzoni, right? And he's only Matir Chudo Apnimi. Number two, Ushmamina, that Meshech Mavui B'Arba Amos, meaning that if you want to know whether something is called a Lechi or it's part of the Mavui, then it depends upon whether it's less than 4 amos or more than 4 amos. If it's more than 4 amos, it doesn't function as a lechi, and therefore it's considered part of the mavui. Just one second. And he points out, that we had this din already back on Daf Heyam and Aleph. And Shema Mino number 3, that Niri B'chutz Hashav Bifnim Nido Mishum Lechi. Right, that if it's less than 4 amos, it will be a lechi, even though it's not at all recognizable to the eye of the person in the Mavi. Hilchas, and the final conclusion is, Niri B'chutz Hashav Bifnim Nido Mishum Lechi. So it's very interesting. Tiyuv Tav Hilchasa, we just went through a whole rigmarole to prove from the Mishnah later on with the Chatzaktana and the Chatzakdola that Nidon Mibachut, that Shavu Mibifnim is Eino Nidon. And now you're telling me Halacha in. We can't accept that. Why? Mishum the Tani Rabbi Chia Kavase. Because we have a Braisa that was said in the name Rabbi Chia with regard to the Kosel Shetzido Echad Konus Michavero. Is Nido Mishum Lechi, even though it's only Nirami Bachutz. So again, we have a stira here, but we can accept the Shita of Rabbi Chia, and therefore the Halach is going to be that Nirami Bachutz Visham Mivifnim is Nidon Mishum Lechi. So this is where we're going to stop, Rabosai. We're up to Varachov Me Eser Yemait. So we're really going back to the first Mishnah in Masechta Erev. Okay, that will be netted. We'll cover on Sunday on Mishon. So I wish you all a very fine Shabbos. Okay.